This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Judith Jacobs with Tishao Eek and Sumitra Selvaraj. And this is something I always say, it ain't easy being green. And frog species are declining in numbers so rapidly that scientists are turning to artificial fertility treatments. So what are they hoping for? A jump in the population, of course.
Of course. So that clip that you just heard of a chorus of frogs in a Malaysian swamp was actually adjudged one of the world's most beautiful sounds in an online competition.
Wonderful. I remember that.
That was held a couple of years ago. So I thought it'd be nice to pull that up to share. And it is quite a lovely sound, although I must admit, I'm not the biggest fan of frogs. I've had quite a few standoffs with these beady
Standoffs? What has been
the
happening?
Drama, I say.
No, they just hang around the garden. And
How dare they?
I'm particularly terrified of the way that, you know, they're completely still, right? But then it's also unpredictable the way these little critters are going to hop.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, but to be fair, this year I told myself that if I consider myself an animal enthusiast, and I do, I can't discriminate against species simply because you're not fluffy and waggly-tailed. Hence today's focus on frogs.
I mean, for me, frogs are rather magical creatures, though. I mean, firstly, as amphibians, they already occupy a unique position in biology. The term amphibian comes from the Greek word that means both kinds of life. Mm. And this, of course, refers to their ability to live on land and in water.
Okay, so I'm going to go into a bit of encyclopedic knowledge here. There are over 8,000 species of amphibians recorded, including frogs, toads, salamanders, and Sicilians. And Sicilians actually refer to a group of limbless, snake-like amphibians that you really need to Google to believe.
Yeah.
So I hope all of you listening are doing that right now. snakes, just for a refresher, snakes are not amphibians. They are reptiles, if you remember your very, very early childhood biology lessons. Both are cold-blooded, but while the dry-skinned and scaly reptiles breathe through lungs, smooth-skinned and often sticky amphibians, I think maybe that's why you don't like frogs as well, breathe through lungs and gills.
Right.
Yes. And, you know, back to frogs, which make up more than 90% of all amphibian species. We know that there are about 7,000 odd species of frogs in the world, but pinning down the number of frogs is practically impossible because scientists reckon that there are countless hidden species tucked away in rainforests and undiscovered areas.
Just waiting for standoffs
with Sumitra.
So to get an expert opinion on frogs, I reached out to zoologist and herpetologist Professor Dr. Nurhayati Ahmed for her thoughts. Now, apologies in advance to our listeners on the quality of the call, but the good professor is in the field and not in an area with good phone reception. So I asked her, first of all, why frogs are important to our ecosystem.
Okay, frogs play many roles in the natural ecosystems, especially in aquatic habitats. But you know, even in urban areas where there are humans, they eat insects. They are carnivorous, they eat other live animals, but mainly insects. They control the insect population, and frogs also, they keep things in balance because other animals also frogs.
So that was herpetologist Professor Dr. Nurhayati Ahmed very succinctly explaining that frogs are super important to our environment because they eat bugs, but then they're also fodder for other animals, thus being an integral part of the circle of
chain,
life.
Yeah.
And knowing how important frogs are, herpetologists conducted the first ever global assessment of frogs and toads decades ago, but the results were only published in 2004. The scary facts from that publication, though, sent scientists scrambling. They found that frog populations everywhere globally were plummeting. Some species had vanished completely.
Mm. Yeah, and among the greatest threats to frogs were, of course, habitat destruction, waterways pollution, as well as the introduction of invasive species that threatened the delicate ecological balance that frogs are a part of. Mm. So after the results came out, international experts held a summit to hash out an action plan. And one key recommendation was that zoos, aquariums, and other organizations with suitable facilities should rescue the species closest to extinction and breed them in captivity. Mm. Now, considering the fact that you see tadpoles, you know, pooling in a padang or wriggling along in longkangs, mm-hmm. you might think that breeding frogs is a fairly straightforward affair. You are wrong. Frogs are finicky on the romance front, and they simply will not hop into a puddle with just any old mate, and they certainly won't be coerced in to do the same in a lab.
So in a recent article in The Atlantic explains that why is it so hard to produce tadpoles? Apparently, it's because frogs are an extraordinarily diverse group of animals with many often highly specialized reproductive strategies and mechanisms. Mm. Some of them breed in water from placid lakes to fast-running streams and shallow temporary pools. But did you know others actually breed on land, from the rainforest floor to the canopy beneath the moss of an alpine bog, or even balanced on reeds in a foamy nest of bubbles. That's quite acrobatic if you ask
super
me.
Super impressive.
Yeah. Most frogs fertilize eggs externally. I remember this again from science lessons in school. Although a few species actually bear live young.
Yeah.
Some frogs are monogamous, others are promiscuous, no judgment here, with multiple males piling in on spawning females. So much to digest.
So much to take in this.
So then you add to all of that diverse kind of ways to the fact that changes in an environment such as humidity, temperature, pressure, brighter, longer days, even the calls of other frogs or a sudden downpour that signals the start of the rainy season can influence when frogs get into the mood. Mm. They are very, very kind of sensitive creatures in that way. So once a species has been found to have been decimated in numbers, it's almost impossible to study it in the wild to identify the triggers that can then be replicated in a lab to get them to reproduce and breed them successfully in captivity.
Because if you think about the effects of climate change, where, you know, monsoon seasons come on earlier and are more intense, I'm sure that has a huge impact on their breeding practices. Mm.
I guess that's where enters IVF for frogs. There is now work going into creating hormone treatments to persuade reluctant pairs to mate or to induce development and release of eggs and sperm. And scientists have also developed in vitro fertilization to increase the number and diversity of offspring, as well as cryopreserving gametes so that breeders can draw on them when they're needed.
As always, science to the rescue. Yep. So I'm convinced now, I think about their importance.
Probably not enough to make friends with them.
I am convinced that the numbers need to go up.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So I have resolved to make my garden a little bit more frog friendly. But, you know, I was having this conversation with Prof. Noorhayati, and it was actually quite sad. I was quite perturbed by something that she shared with me during our conversation. Apparently, in some hotels with very beautiful water features and fountains that usually attract frogs, mm-hmm. right? Hotel guests can be very, very unimpressed with the vocal stylings that they hear at night.
So they would report to the hotel manager or whatever, and the management has to do something about it. So they would clean the whole the clean areas where there are frogs using bleach or something just to get rid of the frogs. When actual fact, if the environment or if the surrounding environment after rainfall, if you did not hear any sound coming from the frog, then there might be something wrong with the area. The area might be polluted, or, you know, that even frogs cannot live there. So that is a sign of something that is wrong. Because even at your backyard or even in housing areas, frogs can occur. Frogs can live. Mm. And that would be a no sound of the frogs would be an indication that something is wrong.
So that was herpetologist Professor Dr. Nurhayati Ahmed, who is out in the field at the moment, which explains the slightly patchy quality of the call. But, you know, she is out there studying her beloved amphibians. Mm. And by the way, just before we get on with our discussion, if you're warming up to the idea of frogs or getting to know them a little bit better, please do check out amphibia.my, which is Prof's brilliant and vivid website. It's so beautifully photographed to help you identify frogs that you might come across. Mm. And then you can also download her Frogs and Toads of Malaysia book from the Malaysia Biodiversity Information System webpage. Just search for the title at MyBIS. That's mybis.gov.my.
That's very interesting, because I'd be curious to know how many species of frogs and toads are perhaps unique to Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Perhaps just our region alone, right?
Right. Mm. So going back to something that she said, right, if you don't hear frogs in your neighbourhood, something is seriously wrong. Do you guys hear frogs in your neighbourhoods?
I do. Rare. I must admit, rare to hear and see them. The occasional ones I see, I think also are toads, if I... they are brown, usually, mm-hmm. with sort of the rough, scaly kind of skin.
I happen to know a good website that you could go to.
Which I will check
to identify. I used to hear them a lot, but not anymore. In fact, I don't even get frogs visiting, and they used to a lot before. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's down to all the development that's going on in my area. We've mm-hmm. had several hills cut down. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to live in a very forested sort of hilly area. Mm-hmm. Nothing. A lot of it has been cut down for condos, and a lot of the wildlife that I used to see have all disappeared, including frogs, who used to come visit my house.
This is where I'm starting to thaw to the idea, right? Okay, so now I am going to say to myself that I am going to welcome frogs into my, not home, into the garden. Okay, they can come to the garden. That's not a problem. Prof Nurhayati made a good point about if you do have frogs in your garden, or if you do have a water feature found, try not to let your dogs and cats go out at night so that they don't kind of prey on the frogs any more than necessary. Right. And then she also made a really important point about how people these days buy lots of pet frogs. These pet frogs are not species native to Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, once people get bored of them, or if they escape and they get into nature, they kind of upset the balance of our native frogs.
Oh.
If you don't want, she says that if you don't want your foreign frog pet anymore, take it back to the Department of Wildlife and deposit it with them.
Oh, they will take it?
Yes, they will take it. And she says that is a safer alternative rather than releasing it into the wild.
Yeah. Because that just decimates populations all over. We've seen that also with terrapins, for example. It just happens a lot.
Yeah. She was saying how in Putrajaya Lake, people have been releasing snapping turtles.
Yes.
Which is apparently really, really destructive.
Yeah. So, I mean, that comes back to, I don't know, just a sense of awareness and civic-mindedness by people, right? First of all, that trend of wanting to buy certain pet species. Because they're exotic, or they look cute, or perhaps not in the case of frogs, but they're interesting. But just learning more about that species and what you need to do as a responsible owner, right?
Right.
A bit of a word of advice for you, Sumitra, on WhatsApp. Maybe before we judge frogs for being icky, this person says, we should avoid jumping to conclusions about them. So, Sumitra, your story on frogs has elicited quite a number of comments. So here's Michelle, who said she has some water features in her little garden, and yesterday she saw two little frogs frolicking in one of them.
Aww.
And during the rainy season, she hears them croaking pretty loudly, but she just lets them be. That's nice. Thanks, Michelle. She adds, she doesn't live near a forest. So I guess she's saying that perhaps still within the urban areas, there are still...
I'm glad to hear that. It's unfortunate my area doesn't have that, but it's nice to hear. Well, we can keep that conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899, or you can even call us at 03-7733-2900.
Actually, just one more comment very quickly from Maggie. She says she used to hear frogs calling, especially after a rainfall around her house, and she used to be irritated by it. Now she only hears engines revving during so-called office hours. Is that a sign of progress?
That's really sad.
Not the kind of progress that frogs would appreciate, I suppose.
No.
Not that we appreciate it either, you know? It's a sign of our biodiversity loss.
Yes.
It's really quite bad. But, I mean, do keep those comments coming in. We're going to take a short break, but here's Peace Frog by the doors to keep you company.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.